Let the whole church say amen. We ought to be rejoicing. You were just saying the word, so rejoice and say amen. Let everybody be thankful to the God of heaven, the great God that He is, for He has lengthened out our lives once again. He has blessed us that we can be able to come out and to serve Him once again in spirit and in truth. It's good to see everybody this morning. I'm glad that everyone is well as they are, and hopefully everybody is doing the best that they can do. And just be thankful to God, however you might be doing this morning. For believe it or not, there's always someone that's worse off than you are. This morning I want to bring to the church's attention that Sister Sharon Williams had another death in her family, and she's asking the church to pray for her. And also she stood up last week and asked that the church pray for a lady, a friend of hers, and she has informed me that since that lady has also died. So let us pray for Sister Williams, as she is not going to be here with us this day as well. So let us go to God in prayer, for once again it is good to praise the Lord. Dear Lord, our God and our Heavenly Father, we thank You for this blessed day that You have given us. We thank You that You have allowed us to be here today, and we thank You that we have a place not far from our homes that we may come to our church home, O Heavenly Lord. Thank You, O Heavenly Father, for the blessings that You have bestowed upon us. Thank You for food, shelter, clothing, and thank You most of all for life, health, and strength in Your Son Jesus, who died so that we might have an opportunity to live. Thank You this morning, Father, that the cross is still just as visible today as it was last many years ago, O Heavenly Father. We thank You that we can still see the cross and see Jesus hanging on that cross as we continue to serve Him, O Heavenly Father. Thank You this morning, Father, for those who are sick, and we pray for them that their health may get better, if it be Your will. We pray for those who have lost loved ones and the families that are coming together to be with one another during their times of despair. Thank You, O Heavenly Father, for the leaders of this congregation and their families. Thank You for the brethren of this congregation who have taken part in the services thus far, as well as their families. Thank You, Father, for each and every person that came out this morning to be here. Thank You for giving them their health and their strength, and giving them a reasonable portion of their mind that they may come out to be with us, O Lord. Thank You this morning, Father, for preachers and teachers everywhere who are teaching the Word of God in a dark world. Thank You this morning, O Lord, that we are here, and thank You for Your Son once again, O Lord. Now, my Heavenly Father, I pray for the leaders of this world as they continue to lead, that they may lead upright and not put any laws or bind us with anything that would enslave us, that we may not be able to serve You in spirit and in truth. We thank You for the soldiers who are standing guard around the world, O Lord, and we're just praying for this world in which we live, O Lord, where people are now once again, Father, being shot and killed for no reason at all. We pray, O Lord, that You would remove this element from this world, that they may turn around and come to You, O Lord, that they may come to know You. We thank You, O Heavenly Father, for each and every member here this morning, and we pray for them and their families as we move on into the next portion of our services, O Lord. We pray that everything that has so far been done has been decent and order, and that You would be acceptable of the things that we do from this point on, if it be Your will. Thanking You right now, Heavenly Father, in the name of Your Son Jesus, the one who went up Calvary's hill, we ask it all in the name of Him. Amen. This morning the scripture was read for your hearing from Matthew, the 28th chapter, verses 1 through 8. We're going to be talking about them in a little bit, but we want to speak this morning about our risen Lord. What a privilege we have been afforded. Another day has been given to us that we may serve the Lord our God once again. Preachers and teachers have an opportunity to once again proclaim to a dying world the message of our risen Lord. The one thing that preachers like about today is that many of their pews that tended to be dark last, dim and empty last week, are kind of fuller today on this Sunday. The most comforting thought that all of us need to know is that Jesus is not dead. Jesus is alive, He's well, and will continue to live throughout eternity. And we too have the opportunity to live in eternity as well. All we have to do is to look at the evidence and let it point us to where we can see that Jesus did raise Himself up, come out of the grave, and now sits on the right hand of His Father, which is in heaven. When man has done all that he can do, when man has went as far as he can go, and he tries to prove that God is not alive, the Bible will refute him each and every time to let him know that God is alive. Look at the text for today. In verse number 1, in the end of the Sabbath, as it began to dawn toward the first day of the week, came Mary Magdalene and the other Mary to see the sepulcher. And behold, there was a great earthquake, and the angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone and from the door and sat upon it. The Bible simply presents the truth to those of us who believe in the Bible that He is alive. So let us follow the evidence. Let us look toward, first of all, the empty tomb. If you notice, it was early in the morning of the dawn of the first day of the week. And this is where we're at this day, the first day of the week. And I believe there's no better time to look for Jesus than early on His day. This tells all doubters, as Christ had foretold, He would be resurrected after He was buried in the grave. And He was buried in the evening of the sixth day of the week and arose in the morning of the first day of the week. Not only was Jesus not there when the women got there, but the tomb itself was empty. According to Mark chapter 16 and verse number 1, there came Mary Magdalene and Mary the mother of James, and they came with sweet spices in order to anoint the body of Jesus. Just as with us today, when Jesus is not in our lives, we can't serve Him. Neither could these women serve His body because He was not there. Look at the text again. When they came early in the morning, as it began to dawn toward the first day of the week, they came and there was a great earthquake. For the angel of the Lord descended from heaven, came and rolled back the stone from the door and sat up on it. I tell you something, church. Too many times we spend too much time in our lives worrying about how is He going to remove the stone, or how am I going to remove the rock that's in my life? You don't need to worry about it if you ask God to help you, because He can roll the stone that's the stone that may be trouble in your life. Not only was Jesus not there, not only was the stone rolled away, but that earthquake that came, that great earthquake, according to the Bible. When Jesus died, it was received, the earthquake when Jesus died in Matthew 27 and verse number 51. Just as it did when He got up, the earthquake came as well. See, we have another quake here as if to release Him from His tomb, from the grips and the bonds of death. To all of those who refuse to believe that Jesus lived, they need but look no further than the empty tomb for proof. He arose up on the first day of the week, and just as God called for light out of darkness on the first day of the first week in Genesis chapter 1, Jesus came back to life. So Jesus came to be the light of the world. His captor and His trial began in the darkness, and while He hung on the cross, the sun also darkness. It was light. It was darkness, and He was buried in the dusk of the evening. But thank God, for just as the sun was near its rising, that's why in Revelation and verse 22 and verse number 16, the Bible refers to Him as the bright in the morning star. So just as Jesus was about to arise, just as the sun was dawning, thank God that He got up early in the morning. It gave Him a full day to allow people to know that He was no longer there. Look at the text once again. Watch the angel there in verse number 3. The Bible says His countenance was like lightning and His raiment white as snow. He looked like lightning, and his clothes looked like snow. It was pure white. In other words, the sign of purity. And thank God that He rolled that stone away, and that angel rolled that stone back and set up on it so that everybody who came to the tomb could see that Jesus was not there. For Jesus had to come out of the grave. Heaven was indeed involved in the resurrection of Jesus. In verse number 2, you see that there was an earthquake. And this presents unto us the account of how that an angel of the Lord descended from heaven to roll back the stone and then took a seat up on that same stone. And I may as well tell you, the Bible does not tell us. So don't believe for one minute that the angel actually resurrected Jesus. That was the work of heaven and the Lord Himself and Jesus Christ Himself. The angel simply came and rolled the stone away. He simply had the job of rolling the stone away. Jesus died to pay our debt, and He was raised in justification. He died for us, church. And I know that many of us today, we like to call this Easter Sunday. We like to call this Easter Sunday, and we do things like when I was a kid, personally, I hated an Easter Sunday. I remember it from when I was about 5 years old. I remember the exact outfit that I had to wear because I had to go to church and say a speech. I remember it well, church, and I just want to tell you that that's not what Sunday is all about. Sunday is the Lord's Day. It's not a day for hunting eggs. Now, I know some of you have big dinners planned today. You got a ham laid out, and you might want to invite Brother Carter, too, now. But you got a ham laid out. You might have a turkey somewhere basting and getting ready to be popped in the oven. But I'm not going to keep you long today either, because I know you got to get back to that dinner. But then some of us are going to go out to dinner. Some of us are going to say, this is Easter Sunday, so I'm going to go out for dinner. If it's the Lord's Day, you ought to take the Lord with you wherever you go today. You need to make sure that the Lord is with you. So as these women went to the tomb was empty. Nobody was there. Nobody was there except the angel sitting on the stone that he had rolled away. But not only that, but let us look at a few of the witnesses. In life, there's no stronger proof necessary than witnesses to prove a point of fact. So if we were to look at some of the witnesses today, and I'm not going to look at but one or two of them, we can prove that God is not in the grave anymore, but that He is risen. He is our risen Lord. We could call upon some of the tomb keepers, if we will. They were there when the great earthquake took place. They were there when the angel rolled the stone back. Look at verse number 3. His countenance, that was the angel, was like lightning, and his raiment white as snow. But I want you to notice verse number 4. And for fear of him, the keepers did shake and became as dead men. So what does that mean? Well, that means that they were frightened. That means that they became like stone faced. That means that they couldn't understand what was going on. They had heard it been prophesied, and Jesus had told them that He was going to come out of the grave. But they were sent there, their job was to keep a dead body in a grave. So these were soldiers, these were men who were used to not being afraid, they were used to battle. They were battle-worn, and some of them perhaps maybe even wearied a little bit. But this angel, when he came, his face shone like lightning, and his clothes were white as snow. And this frightened those keepers, and they became as dead men. Yet they witnessed the fact that Jesus was not there. The angel had set up on this stone that he had rolled away. And no doubt these soldiers were not men who were supposed to be afraid, for the Bible did describe them as they did shake. Their job was to keep, as I said, a dead man in his grave. But they were not ready to deal with they were not dealing with just any man. They were dealing with the one who had already prophesied in John 12 and 32 that if I be lifted up
from the earth, that He would draw all men unto Him, signifying His own death. These soldiers were ready for a battle, but they were not ready for an assault by Jesus' followers, and especially not an angel from heaven. They were not prepared for a confrontation with an angel from God Himself. You know, if you're not right with God, you need to get right with God. You need to be right so that you can understand the will and the ways of God. You won't always necessarily like the ways and the will of God, but you must learn to accept God's will in your life. Look at verse number 5. And the angel answered and said unto the women, Fear not ye, for I know that ye seek Jesus, which was crucified. You see that what that says? He was crucified. We know that He died. We know that He died on yonder's cross. But He wasn't there. He wasn't there. And many of us have taken Him out of our lives just as well. You've got to keep Jesus in your life if you want to be blessed with the blessings of Jesus Christ. Not only were the keepers of the grave of the tomb there, but the disciples met Him on the Emmaus Road in Luke chapter 24, around verses number 13 through about verse number 15. There are other witnesses too, but as I said, I know you got dinner, so I'm not going to belabor the point. I'm just going to keep you for a little while this morning, and I'm almost done. I'm halfway there right now. But they met Him on the Emmaus Road, and they didn't recognize Jesus. Because many times you don't recognize Jesus in your life because you say, it's I who's done this, or I who have done that. But it's Jesus that gives us all that we have today, and gives us, and I'm not gonna make you think that Jesus does everything that you do in your life, because some things you do yourself in your life. Some things Jesus wants no part of in your life. As a matter of fact, He wants your life to be just the opposite. But there are other witnesses that I know that I could call on, but once again, I'm not going to call on all of these witnesses because we'd be here most of the afternoon if I did. And I know you want to get home. So let us continue on. Let us look at the text once again. Look at verse number 5 once again. And the angel answered and said unto the women, Fear not ye, for I know that you seek Jesus, which was crucified. And then go on down to verse number 6. And look what it says there. It starts the text off with, He is not here, for He is risen as He said. Come see the place where the Lord lay. Now these women were also witnesses to this. They were invited to come in and look and see where Jesus once lay. But He wasn't laying there anymore. That's why today we don't serve a God that's laying in any tomb, in any grave, anywhere. We serve a God that sits on the right hand of His Father in heaven. So what was the outcome of His resurrection? Over 4,000 years ago, Job asked this question. He said, if a man die, shall he live again? In Job chapter 14 and verse number 14. The gospel of Jesus answers that question. The gospel itself may be found in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 3 through verse number 5. How that Christ died according to the scriptures for our sin, and that He was buried, and that He rose again on the third day according to the scriptures. That's the gospel, church. That's the gospel of Jesus Christ. His resurrection means that Satan has been defeated. Death has been conquered. It means some of us will reside in heaven, but others will be sent to outer darkness. The empty tomb signifies a good thing for us today, if we are believers. It lets us know that Jesus is alive today. It lets us know that the cross could not kill Him, nor could the grave hold Him. We know that the Word of God, the Gospel, is not preached in vain, for 1 Corinthians 15, verse 14 and verse number 15, if Christ be not risen, then our preaching is vain. And your faith is also vain. And we are found to be false witnesses of God because we testify that God raised Christ, If that be so, the dead rise not.
In other words, if we are serving a God that's not alive, we are serving a God, that is alive. And if we are serving a God that's not alive, you are not serving the right God. That's what I'm trying to say. It also means that our faith is in vain.
We know better than that, don't we, church? We know that our faith is not in vain. We know that Christ was raised from the dead. Watch it again in verse number 6. He is not here, for he is risen as he said. Come see the place where the Lord lay.
And then verse number 7 says, and go quickly and tell his disciples that he is risen from the dead. And behold, he goeth before you into Galilee. There shall you see him. Lo, I have told you. And they departed quickly from the sepulchre with fear and great joy, and did run to bring his disciples, word. You ought to run when it comes to serving the Lord. You ought to run to church on Sunday morning. You are, and you ought to be glad to get to church on Sunday morning. You ought to know that God is alive, well, and is doing all right by us if he allows you to get here on Sunday morning. You ought to be here early on Sunday morning. He is risen. He is risen. He is not here. That's why we preach him each and every Sunday. That's why we teach to a world that's in darkness, that we that do not believe that he is risen. But he has. He is not in the grave anymore. He is not in the tomb anymore. He was seen some 40 days teaching of the kingdom in Acts 1 and 3. But even Saul met the risen Lord on the Damascus Road. But I've got a question for you this morning. I've got a question this morning for all of us. If God be not alive, then who are we serving? That's one question I have for you. And another question that I have for you, do you believe that our Lord is risen? If not, where, what, or whom do you have hope in? If you refuse to call out the name Jesus, what do you expect to go into judgment? If you don't call him now, what do you expect will happen in the judgment? Admit it to yourself this morning, church, that our Lord has risen from the grave. Believe that so that you might be saved. Watch it once again. I keep repeating this same verse, number 6. He is not here, for he is risen as he said. Come see the place where the Lord lay. Now I'd like to ask another question this morning. If he is not there, do you know where he's at? And you should, if you are a member of his body, you should know where he's at. You should know that he lives in heaven, seated on the right hand of the Father. You should know that God is sitting there and Jesus is sitting on his side, at his side right there. So when you go and you get into a debate with someone and they say, well, I don't believe that Christ got up. I don't believe that Christ is alive. Take them over to Matthew 28 there and just read them that sixth verse of that 28th chapter, where the witness said that he was not there. Where everything points to him not being there. Where in Acts, what I just quoted you in Acts chapter 1, around verse number 3, where Jesus taught for some 40 days after he got up. So if he hadn't got up, how could he have taught for 40 some days? How, church? If you are serving a God that you don't know, a God that you can't call upon when times of trouble arise, that you can't call upon in your hour of need, then you're not serving the right God. If you're not serving a God that went to the cross for us, if you're not serving a God that went to the tomb for us, if you're not serving a God that got up for us, if you're not serving a God who sits in heaven right now, you're not serving the right God. You're not serving the risen Lord. And as I bring this message to a close this morning, as I continue to work toward this, where you want me to be, this morning, if you don't know that God that I'm talking about, that I speak of this morning, you need to come to know him. You need to come to know him because that is the only God you'll ever need in your life. And I know there are many things that people use for God, in place of God. They use money, some of them. Some of them use fame. Some of them use fortunes. Some of them use many different things, but there is only one true God. One Lord, one faith, one baptism. One Lord. One hope of our calling. And if you don't have any hope this morning, if you find yourself being hopeless, you need to serve the right God. Because with God, all things are possible. And somebody said, well, preacher, I tried serving God a long time ago, and it didn't work out. Well, who didn't it work out for, you or him? Think about it. If you tried serving him, maybe you didn't try hard enough. See, sometimes we get things confused. We want things to go our way. Just, I'm like that too. I want it to be my way. But if I put God first, it's not always going to go my way. Sometimes the Lord sees things the way we don't want Him to see things. We want Him to see it our way. But if you serve the risen Lord, you can have an opportunity to go down on your knees when you need Him and call upon Him. I'm reminded of something that was in the Bible class this morning. Someone asked the question, or the question was in the book, why do people only pray or seek God in times of trouble? I'll tell you why they only seek God in times of trouble. You see, because we are all human beings and we have different ideas on everything. I don't need God when the troubles are gone out of my life. I just need Him when the troubles come in my life. I don't need Him when the troubles have been removed, because I can take care of myself then. That's our thought on it. But the way we ought to think is that I need God all the time. I need Him in the morning, especially in the morning, because I hope to wake up and hope to get up. I need Him in the midday because I need the energy to go on through the day. I need somebody with me. And then I need Him in the evening as I bring my day to a close and I prepare for bed. I need Him especially at night because I need somebody to watch over me when I can't watch over myself. I need somebody to be there when I drop off to sleep, to say gently, wake me on, tap me on the shoulder and say, get up. You have taken your rest. I need the Lord in my life, and you do too. You may not want to admit it, but we all need the Lord. So how do I get the Lord, or how do I become on the Lord's side? How do I get with the Lord, as today's vernacular goes? How can I get with the Lord? Well, you come by hearing, believing, repenting, confessing, and then being baptized. And to those of you who have been on the battlefield for a long time, and I'm not calling you old, I'm simply saying that you've been on the battlefield a long time. Sometimes you have to go back to the Lord, and you have to say to the Lord, Lord, I have fallen short. I was running the track, this racetrack of life, and some kind of way I stepped out of bounds. And I need to get back in bounds, Lord. Help me to get back on the track of life, the racetrack of life. But you know, I tell you something. Life is only promised to us for a little while. And then we become a distant memory. And it's not going to happen to some of us. It's going to happen to all of us. And when we become a distant memory, we're going to need somebody to go out to the graveside with us. Not somebody who's still around. We're going to need somebody to go down in the grave with us. And that somebody is Jesus. And I thank God that He is alive today, because I can still call on Him. I thank God that He did come out of the tomb. He did come out of the grave just like He said He would. Thank God that He came out. Our risen Lord. If this be your desire this morning, as we now together stand and sing the invitation song, you have this opportunity to come forward.